Welcome to Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson, coming to you from somewhere in Texas. It's the 23rd of October, 2020, and I'm soon to be joined momentarily at the same studio location, branch studio location, by another RBN personality, naturopathic laboratory doctor known as Johnny Delirious. Johnny's about to join me in 5, 4... 3.5.
Here's
3.
Johnny.
Here's Johnny. We're sounding like the beginning of the old Tonight Show. I won't laugh like Ed McMahon, though. Don't worry. He'd always go, ha, 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 to the side. Remember?
He had a job. He had a place.
He did. Johnny crack a joke, and his job was to go, ha, 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 ha.
You got to have a side, man. So here I am, Mark. I'm at your side.
Okay. Yeah, literally and figuratively. Well, it's kind of an open book today, ladies and gentlemen. And so we would be looking for some calls today, 800-313-9443, especially toward the second half of the show. You got to give us time to bloviate. And what we're talking about, among other things, it's going to be a mixed bag, is how many new normals have we experienced? Now, has that been said?
I'm going to send it right now.
I'm letting the board ops know that somewhat belatedly, but right now, as we speak, we are sending a link to a YouTube video 4 or 5 minutes long so we can get the audio from this thing to talk about the whole concept of new normals, particularly with relation to the COVID new normal, quote unquote, and just how far back the conception of the COVID new normal may have been. And so I'm letting the board ops know that link to the YouTube is coming right now. And that obviously is there. And
on both Channel 1 and Channel 2.
On Skype 1 and Skype 2. And that will be played in its entirety. It's only about 5 minutes, right, Johnny?
Well, it's about 8 minutes.
Is it 8 minutes?
Yeah, this is the full version.
Oh, okay. There was a 5 minute and an 8 minute. This is the 8 minute, I'm told. At any rate, you're going to want to hear the audio to this, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to play that momentarily. Maybe we'll keep you hanging on until after the bottom of the hour. But it indicates how long something like the COVID new normal has been contemplated.
She's got it.
And it's queued up. And maybe we'll take a vote. We only have a 2-member electorate to vote with here. Do you want to?
I think we should go for it because this is made in 1956, Mark. So, you know, how can you predict exactly what's going to happen today? You know, we understand, okay, we have computers, they're coming and make life easier and robots and this and that. But how can you predict that a virus is coming out of Asia and going to infect the whole world back in 1956?
And to specify, in the year 2020.
In the year.
They don't say about 2020. They don't say approximately 2020. They don't even say early in the 21st century.
They say in 2020, this virus is going to take over the world. It came from Asia, blah, blah, blah. This was made in 1956, Mark. It's just unbelievable.
So let's go ahead and listen to that. That's the vote. We're going to play it now. And this is from 1956. It's one of those old newsreel kind of informational films that a lot of school kids and consumers saw back in those days.
You go watch a movie, you see the cartoons, you might see a newsreel, and here this one is, and it's telling us about the future.
Yeah, and it's somewhat similar, too, to the Disney.
Yeah, The Wonderful World of Disney. I watched, Wernher von Braun and the Rockets, and then, you know, the whales or whatever, but then you'd have something like this telling us about how great our lives are going to be. Well, this is really ironic, isn't it, how great our lives are going to be in a pandemic.
Yeah, let's go ahead and go with this audio, and then we'll comment. Here we go.
When you think of the future, you likely envision the remarkable technologies that you've seen in comic books and films. You may begin to picture flying cars, trains driven by electromagnets, or household robots that will see to your every need. While modern scientists agree that many of these inventions are either unlikely or unnecessary, it may surprise you to learn what the future could actually hold. Imagine being able to share your thoughts with millions of people at once, simply by typing them on a keyboard and sending them through the air. Think of what life will be like when all of the many fixtures of an office, including a typewriter and an entire Rolodex, can fit within a device smaller than a loaf of bread. Consider the vacation plans you could make when a single trip on an aeroplane is all that's needed to visit anywhere on Earth. Yes, the future certainly looks bright, but it isn't without its darker sides. According to some predictions, obesity will likely run rampant, and political corruption will become so commonplace as to be accepted. People with nothing entertaining or informative to say will broadcast their demands for attention, and once beloved performers will become pushers of snake oil. Perhaps worst of all will be the emergence of a deadly and potentially devastating disease. Think of the last time that you contracted influenza. You were likely bedridden for days, having no appetite or desire to play games. Experts predict that by the year 2020, a new virus will rise, spreading from somewhere in Asia to the rest of the world. And with international travel being available to even the most common citizen, a sickness which would have been contained in years past will quickly spread to all corners of the globe. Worse still, the fantastic technologies of the era, the instantaneous communication and the ability to spread misinformation, will cause undue panic and unrest. While you may think that we have decades to prepare, the frightening truth is that we have already become susceptible to the spread of this upcoming pandemic. The people preparing our food will do so without washing their hands, and the declining standards for common hygiene will cause the release of marauding clouds of infection. Even today, children would prefer to attempt the carefree murder of their playmates rather than lecture one another about covering their mouths when they cough. So how do we reverse this trend? How do we avoid the coming catastrophe? Many doctors would suggest that we simply need to learn and practice better health habits, but that may not be enough. As it turns out, there is a solution. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Well, no wonder my laundry bill is so high. All those napkins last week.
Doeskin.
What?
You should use Doeskin dinner napkins.
Paper napkins? Oh, no.
I don't mean thin little paper napkins, but Doeskin dinner napkins. You'll love them.
Everybody loves Doeskin dinner napkins. These soft linen-like napkins are two-ply in smart formal fold, in white and in beautiful pastel colors. And Doeskin dinner napkins are big. They cover your whole lap, and they stay put. What's more, they last throughout the meal, and they leave no lint.
They are nice, and they would save my linen.
They save you money, too. Doeskin dinner napkins cost only 49 cents for 5 dozen. That's a fraction of a penny apiece.
All right, Dottie.
You'll find Doeskin dinner napkins, Doeskin facial tissues, and other Doeskin products at your favorite grocery, supermarket, department store, or drugstore. Look for the brown dispenser box.
Doeskin.
And now, the answer about how to avoid the deadly virus set to sweep the world.
And that may have been a little shorter than we predicted, but that, ladies and gentlemen, is from 1956. And you'll notice the specificity, Johnny. If I may point out a couple of things, before it got to the part about the Asian plague that would strike, Asian-rooted plague that would exactly strike in 2020, not 2021, not 2019, not approximately 2020.
But the whole world. The whole world will be infected by this Asian plague.
Right, and before they got into that, they said that imagine typing your thoughts on a keyboard and sending them through the air. That's an obvious predictive programming, rather obvious, of Wi-Fi.
Yep, absolutely.
Sending them through the air, the signal goes, it's airborne, that's basically Wi-Fi. And then they also mentioned, imagine a Rolodex smaller than a loaf of bread that would have information in it. That's an approximate reference to a laptop.
Yep, or a car computer.
Right, and this is 1956, keep this in mind. And I really love this one. People with no redeeming or good ideas and the ability to spread misinformation will spread panic. And that's an obvious reference to the anticipation of, wait for it, the conspiracy theorists.
Yes, and they're everywhere.
They're everywhere like the viral clouds floating. And it's interesting how they think that these clouds of pathogens are going to be like clouds in the sky, and that the droplets would forever be suspended in air. They would never be heavy enough to drop to the ground.
It's like an invasion, Mark.
Yeah, like a fog, like an endless vapor and fog.
You remember the movie The Fog? It was a horror movie, and the fog was coming, and people started dying with the fog.
Yeah, and exactly. And then don't we love the most shocking part of it in terms of the language? I believe the most shocking part was they said that if you don't follow the health codes, like covering your mouth, that you, like, let's say you're a little kid, you're engaging in the carefree murder of your playmates. An exact quote, the carefree murder of your playmates. Now, first of all, murder is an intentional act. It can be first degree, it can be second degree. In this scenario, if you're an unwitting 5 or 6 or 7 year old kid and you don't happen to cover your mouth and you so-called inadvertently give a virus to another kid and that kid happens to die, that's not murder because there's no intent.
No.
So they're not even accurate in what they're proclaiming. So when you hear that, when you see that inaccuracy, then that's the sheer unavoidable proof that this is propaganda from beginning to end, because that inaccuracy is not a mistake. They're trying to up the ante and engage in hyperbole and exaggeration and make this more than it is to instill fear. So that's how you know this kind of stuff was born in a lab, no different than some futuristic laptop, no different than some robot. This kind of scenario are born in labs of a psychological nature. There are psychologists.
Well, the Pavlov's dog. I mean, every
yes.
time he rang that bell, even if you brought the food or not, the dog would start to salivate. So you create these fear waves, and it starts with predictive programming.
Exactly. And naturally, we can't be so prescient or so prophetic as they can to say exactly who's going to do what or who's doing what, but I think we know in our heart of hearts that the Tavistock Institute in the UK and the
the trilateralists, but a plague that comes from Asia that's going to infect the whole world in 2020. Just that right there, that I heard him say that. That in its of itself, back in 1956. How could that be? So the planners that started all this, whether it was in March or whether it was in October 18th and, 2019, they all said, well, we got to do it in 2020 because we've been talking about doing it. So we got to hit that target. So for them, it's a target. It's almost like a military objective. You know, you've got to reach this goal. So 2020 was the target.
Exactly. A military objective that logically, we don't have like burning proof in our hands, but logically, let's say you were going to do this. You would have to gather mass communication executives. And remember, William S. Paley and David Sarnoff, CBS and NBC respectively, when those TV stations were founded, were both military men.
Yeah, that's right.
This is their signal corps.
Yeah.
The mass media is the signal corps of the elite's psychological/military initiatives.
Yes. But, you have your certain agenda that you've got to stick to.
Timelines.
And timeline. So, there's strategic planning and then there's tactical planning. So this... originally, as far as a predictive programming, was a tactical move, but the strategic move came in the planning that came ahead. So they're building, they keep building and building, building on this. And then when 2020 came, they had, hired Bill Gates. I mean, how did he rise so quick? I mean, just think about it. They said, oh, he's perfect. Where did Obama come from? Out of nowhere. Oh, he's perfect. So all these people were part of building their agenda that they already had planned in the original tactical planning, and now the strategic planning is fitting right in.
Yeah. As a side note, these personalities from Elon Musk to Bill Gates to Steve Jobs not that they're complete idiots, although Bill Gates, I really think he basically is.
I think he's... Yeah.
His girly arms and all. Mr. Needle Man. But it seems that they're all front men. Jeff Bezos, too, comes to mind. Did they really make these billions all on the, their own initiative?
Well, they had help.
Yeah.
They had help from all sides.
Exactly. We're told that they're these gutsy capitalists, and by their own bootstraps and ingenuity and grit, they got rich strictly on their own, steam.
Maybe Henry Ford, because he came up with all these new innovations, and he did that himself.
Yeah, that's a different generation.
That's a different generation, but a different thing. But that's from the ground up. This is, they just came along, oh, well, I could do this. Oh, of course you can do that. You can do this and this and that. And boom, he had all kinds of help, and the gateways were open for him, whether it's the Bill Gates or the Steve Jobs and all that iPhone boy revolutionized the world. And they made sure that because the military wanted it. They wanted that technology. They wanted that back door from, when they update and upgrade a new program on your Apple or your Microsoft program. They wanted that. The military has a way to check on everybody, and that's more concise as we go on into this, deadline of 2020. To me, that's their deadline.
Yeah, speaking of deadlines, we got about a minute before the break or so. I'll ask for a 30-second cue. Yeah, clearly they have set up this system whereby social media and the mass media would eventually work in harmony to squelch people, because notice what we said a few minutes ago. They predicted there would be these naysayers who would have nothing constructive to say.
Yeah, and Hollywood stars selling snake oil. So that means the big voices that they don't want to be heard are now, the conspiracy theorists, the nut jobs.
Yeah, the snake oil out of Hollywood. We've got Morgan Freeman selling us credit cards. We've got Tom Selleck selling us these twerky reverse mortgages.
Yeah.
So the Hollywood stars are basically, monkey boys for big finance.
Yep.
Monkey boy, go sell this up.
Just to drain out the discretionary capital that's available out there. That's what they want to do. They want to drain us from the cradle to grave.
That would be one plausible explanation. Yeah, right, to make sure they mop up all available
discretionary capital and savings and everything else to make sure you don't have your own self-reliance.
It would seem. Yeah, I'll stop short of, in the interest of objectivity, jump into any, major conclusions, but that is a very logical and plausible explanation for all these stars, Morgan Freeman, Tom Selleck, across the board, peddling credit cards, peddling reverse mortgages. These are the snake oil salesmen, in our estimation, that we're referring to.
And they don't keep doing that, Mark. They throw them under the bus. They did that to Ellen DeGeneres. She was doing it up to a point, but then she says, I don't like cameras coming in my home all the time, because they had her do the thing about, we can lock down and be safe at our home. Well, she did that once, but then she didn't want to do it anymore, and then they threw her under the bus.
Yeah, they'll eat their own sometimes. That's true. At any rate, we got a break coming up, but we're going to keep exploring this. Stay tuned. And your calls are welcome, especially second half of the show.
How they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the CoCertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendivite. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Yeah, from a little big horn to the real. It seems we've seen the last lemonade stand. Well, all the flea markets and the paper routes. If you can't trade in bulk, you get muscled out. Hey. Can we just slow down to the break of day?
Mark Anderson coming to you live as of this day, the 23rd of October 2020, here on Stop the Presses at republicbroadcasting.org. This show runs Monday, Wednesday, Fridays from 2 to 3 Central, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern. And my guest is a regular RBN host himself. And we're at one of the remote studios, you might say. And that's Johnny Delirious, laboratory naturopathic doctor. And we have been talking about a 1956 audio video clip that we played in the first segment that gets into predicting basically Wi-Fi, laptops, but much more specifically and alarmingly, COVID-19 striking this year and coming out of Asia and becoming a worldwide so-called pandemic.
From 1956.
Predicting it in 1956 and that it would be in the year 2020. And so we're talking about just how deep these things may go. Granted, by its very nature, this involves a lot of explanation and speculation. You can't nail everything down. But, you know, another organization that comes to mind is, besides the Tavistock Institute in the UK, is the Aspen Institute.
Yes.
And I have read where they are connected in ways with psychological programming and research in those areas. And I would imagine that this is done across a broad spectrum of universities getting grants. These grants might not be above board. They might be in some kind of black budget.
Yeah, like coming from China or something?
Hard to say who's funding them, but certainly the money would not necessarily appear in a standard budget. And if it did, it would be under some innocuous name.
Yeah.
You know, like consumer research or
but
something.
They are getting funded, and if it applies and and pushes the agenda, then they'll allow it. Just like any business, they want to help the agenda along. Those businesses are successful.
Yeah, which short circuits the real free market, meaning some businesses are getting preferential treatment by definition. And another little quick note is the video audio that we just listened to mentions corrupt elections, and it also mentions obesity. But American citizens did not invent fast food.
No. No, that's a general rule. Big food and big special interests. And, you know, I'll talk about that, Mark, how, you know, slowly but surely they have taught us to eat bad food. They've taught us to eat, you know, white bread. They've taught us to eat, you know, the white rice. And that's degraded from its true nutritional value.
Yeah, you know, when you pick up any, and many of us have done this out there, ladies and gentlemen, listening live and on the archive, many of us will go to a estate sale or maybe our own attic or a grandma's attic, anywhere, yard sales, and you'll find old Life and Look magazines. Mm-hmm. And if you look through there, especially Time Life, which was Henry Luce was Skull and Bones, mm-hmm. a big part of the establishment, you'll see ads for Wonder Bread in those days. And you'll see the push toward microwave food, the push toward TV dinners.
Right. And you notice all those little circles of red and yellow and blue, the little circle dots all over it, like Wonder. Oh, it's Wonder. And it's just, that's psychologically of itself. It has nothing to do with nutrition. It's just playing on your mind. All those little circles.
And, oh, yes, I remember that.
Remember the logo for Wonder Bread? It's like those colored circles all over it.
I can see it in my mind. We're dating ourselves a bit, of course, to even say we remember Wonder Bread. But, and I remember also seeing, we're getting near the bottom of the hour, then we'll have an extended segment here, but I remember also seeing, Johnny, that there were ads in Look and Life magazine, particularly Life, where it said, just think, America, someday men and women will live to be 67, 68 years old.
Oh, yeah, right.
As if that's some accomplishment.
Yeah, I know.
That's nothing. There's been people living in South America and far-flung parts of the earth that have been living over 100 years, four hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And they act, in Western civilization, they act like if you make it to 70, that you should just be completely appreciative. Nowadays, if we're such an advanced society, 70 should be young or relatively young.
It should be young. I mean, we are made really to live to be 120 easy. And in the Greek days, you know, depending on their lifestyle, but if they live the true lifestyle, they live to be over 100. But, it depends if you're from Sparta or Athens. Of how long you're going to live, you know?
So. Yeah, exactly. So they've been, this is another way the mass media has played on people's emotions, telling them some really kind of deplorable goal, you know, to live to 68 or 70, which is not impressive, and making you think it is impressive.
Right.
And then telling you to eat Wonder Bread and telling you that frozen meals that look like they came out of a Star Trek chassis are the way to go. And, you know,
it's got the pretty package and you just got to have it.
Yeah, right. And it's just amazing when you look at the whole panoply of things, how it's played on our assumptions. But we'll be right back with more right after these messages. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Stop the Presses, your host Mark Anderson, coming to you live 23 October 2020. I'm joined by Johnny Delirious. A little bit of housekeeping. I still have available some copies. They're going kind of fast, of Alice and the Money Tree, a great little hardcover book, and it's great for homeschooling. It uses kind of an Alice in Wonderland style rhyme and verse. It's got some cute illustrations of a similar style, and it's great for that nephew or grandnephew on your Christmas list. It's a great gift for any homeschooling family. And it's written to appeal to both the young and the old. And it's by J. Weston Briggs, a acquaintance of mine from the UK. And you can order some through me. And that's one for $10, two for $15, or three copies for $20.
And make a great Christmas present for people with kids.
Yes, it's a great way and a fun way, a lively way of learning how we're being screwed by the money masters, all of us given knee pads from the time we're born, if you'll pardon the rather crude pun. At any rate, Johnny and I have been talking so far today about predictive programming in the age of COVID, and there's a lot of ways we could go with this, Johnny. One thing I wanted to point out was, and then we'll segue back to the 1956 audio video that we talked about. But one point was, and we've talked about this off the air, this is not the first new normal, is it?
No, it's not. And they've tried what I call trial balloons, just how far they can go. So they'll test us. Like you were saying to me today, you were saying, well, you know, it bugged me when they told us we had to wear seatbelts. Now, obviously, seatbelts are to protect you, but on any new measure to advance their agenda, it's always for your safety.
Right.
Just like they say, you got to wear a mask for your safety and others.
Yeah, and seatbelts would be the same way, because if you don't go flying through the window, that's protecting you, and if your body doesn't become a projectile, that's potentially protecting someone else.
Right.
So I remember being in Buchanan, Michigan, a little town in southwestern Michigan, and the seatbelt law around 1998, 99. It's about a 20-year-old law, let's just say, in round numbers, in the state of Michigan where I'm from. Eventually, that spread around most states, I believe, if not all of them, are mandatory seatbelt. And when I went to the UK and Europe, they said it's the same thing. So it became more or less universal. And I remember being in Buchanan one day when that law had just become law and the ink wasn't even quite dry on it. And I go through this main road that goes right through town, and all of a sudden these state cops and their telltale blue cars start pulling people over everywhere. At the same time, within about a three-block range, they had four or five people pulled over at any given time. So, boom, 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 they're flexing their muscle. In other words, they were looking for anyone that didn't have that visible shoulder strap, indicating that they're probably not wearing a seatbelt. And as I understood it, I talked to an officer that day. I was still a reporter back then, and I said, I'm with the press. What's this about? Now, I didn't happen to get pulled over, but I went right through there.
Uh-huh.
And I said, what is this about? And they told me, well, it's about the law. We're just – and what they were doing is they were pulling people over to give them a warning. They realized it was kind of an entrapment, but they were doing it to promote the law.
Right. That's to make the law stick. Just like right. You know, some states have a law for motorcycle helmets. You know, if you're riding a motorcycle, you got to wear helmets. That way in Florida. But in Texas, they still have – you still have freedom – to not wear a helmet if you don't want to, which is really the way it should be. You should have that freedom. But see, again, there again, that's one more law that takes away our freedom that we have to comply. And if we don't comply, we can be arrested.
Right. And,
and that's the goal.
The mandatory seatbelt law, while it sounds more harmless, and it is more harmless than mandatory masking, because you won't get hypoxia or you won't be overwhelmed by carbon dioxide or oxygen deprivation by wearing a seatbelt. Although some people have been in accidents wearing seatbelts and they were in water and they could not get out and they drowned because of their seatbelt. So seatbelts don't always save you. But the main point is that then the police officers had a much lower threshold where they could pull you over.
They have all more instances or more out of their playbook pull you over for something.
All they'd have to say is, it didn't look like you were wearing a seatbelt. And by the way, what's in your back seat? Oh, by the way, can I look in your trunk?
Right. And what's that over there? What am I smelling? You know, all these things, it
right.
gives them more latitude when you come up with more provisions that you have to abide by. And it's just chiseling away at our freedom, Mark.
And we'd invite calls, 800-313-9443. What other new normals can you recall throughout history, throughout your life? Some other ones, obviously, is 9/11 and the Transportation Security Administration.
Yeah.
That was huge because here's 9/11, a very mysterious event. The whatever we may think of it, the conventional story given by the state and by the mass media simply cannot be true. It cannot be true. It not only isn't true, it can't be true.
No.
But the one thing that we do know is that it created an entire new bureaucracy, the Department of Homeland Security, under which the TSA came
right.
along. And then through that, getting on a plane was no longer a happy-go-lucky proposition. No longer could our loved ones walk us all the way to the gate.
But TSA can not only be in airports, it can be expanded out to the highways and bus stations, wherever. I mean, that's all in their book to do when those final days come. And I hope they never come. I think America would be the last place not to have those final days. Although my Kiwi friends down in New Zealand, those poor Kiwis, man, they got to toe the line. They got to walk that line. If they don't, they're arrested. Same way with Australia. They're turning Canada into another draconian lockdown as well. And Trudeau, their prime minister, is talking about doing that in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I got a note, unverified. It is not verified. This is pure speculation in the interest of being safe about what I say. But I did get a note from a reliable friend who claims he got it from a reliable source that the crackdown on Canada and their second wave could lead to even a not just second lockdown, but third lockdown, where Canadians allegedly would not even be allowed without a good reason to travel outside their home city.
No.
Let alone their home county. Or they don't really have counties, but let alone their home region.
Yeah, their district, and they got to stay within, oh, what is it, 5 kilometers in one place, and then, you know, in Canada, it's like within 15 miles, and that's as far as you can go.
Yes, now we're hearing this, and that they would introduce very strict vaccine schedules and all sorts of other implementations. And supposedly a member of a legislative or parliament committee, among other committee members, protested this. And the prime minister's office, the office of Justin Trudeau, basically told them it doesn't matter what they think, this is going to happen.
It's going to happen.
An ultra-severe crackdown alleged to be coming up, to be careful here, in Canada, safely speaking, by November, December, with some measures such as the third lockdown maybe being early next year. But for our Canadian friends, if this is true, and there's some verification to do on the part of myself and others, of course, but if this is true, it does not bode well. But one thing that strikes me about it, let's just say for the sake of discussion, it is true, is that when you think back to the fact that the American Revolution separated us from the crown, and when you think about Canada, New Zealand, Australia all being part of the crown, so
the Commonwealth.
The Commonwealth. It does appear, even though people used to reflect, you know, should we really have separated from Britain? Shouldn't we maybe have stayed with old Blighty?
Yeah.
Maybe that would have been better. But I think we see now that the American Revolution was the right thing to do.
Yes. And all those other outlying areas, you know, they're not totally following everything, but they have more control because those leaders, in my opinion, are compromised, just like some of our mayors in the United States. And that's what happened to Portland and Minneapolis and you know, your mayor in Michigan, you know. So those leaders can take these new agenda points and just apply them like they're the dictator.
Right. But fortunately, in the American system, there's this kind of one part of the government checks the other part, and everything kind of shakes out to where tyranny has a much harder time taking hold here.
In America, thank
because
God.
The power is so diffuse.
Yes.
And you know, you go to Oklahoma, and you can live a lot different life than, let's say, in Michigan.
In the Commonwealth areas, they don't have that.
Yeah, everything is pretty much generic.
They got to follow the line right down to the letter.
Right, whether you're in East England, West England, it don't matter.
You got to wear your mask right. Even if you have a mask, if you're not wearing it right, they can arrest you in Australia.
Yes, yes. The leaders there are beyond deplorable. They are literally demonic.
Yeah.
I think his name is Daniel Andrews.
Yes.
The leader of the Victoria state or province within Australia. He belongs in jail for periods of time that are beyond our imagination.
Yes, and you know, and the whole thing that they're doing is they're just seeing how far they can go and how much resistance they're going to get from the population. And I've always thought that all these other, whether it's the the Yellow Vest movement in France, they're seeing how far that Macron could go, and then the movement in Hong Kong, seeing how far they would go. But all those were shut down. And they know what they can do and what they can't do. And so now they're not really talking about the COVID. They're talking about climate change because, you know, the COVID's wearing thin. People don't believe it now.
Well, they're starting not to believe it. Certainly that their tried and true tool out of their toolbox was climate change. And that's worth a passing mention, of course. It only goes so far. It's a little abstract. It's safe to ignore if you want to. It just doesn't get up close and personal enough. So with their murder hornets, these weird, strange headlines in the news, and of course with COVID-19, they're trying to get up close and personal. They've developed something that's obviously gone back many, many decades, as this 1956 film clip showed that we played earlier. They've developed something that can insinuate itself right into people's personal lives within and among families, within and among communities.
That's 65 years. 65 years. If they're saying that there's going to be a virus out of Asia that infects the whole world, it's going to happen in 2020, well, that's 65 years of planning right there. How much longer was it going on, this planning of taking over the world?
Exactly. And we've talked about the mandatory seatbelt law that kind of grew out of the States, I think, grew out of the States and then spread pretty much worldwide. Talked about 9/11, Department of Homeland Security, TSA. You made the good point. They don't just monitor airports and passengers there. The TSA is set up to be part of a constabulary that would monitor all transport, even in a
cruise lines, bus stations, wherever they might be. Because when you go take a cruise, you got to go to a big concourse, you know, and be sorted out. So they're you know, TSA is going to be everywhere there's transportation.
Right, and in any kind of crackdown or shutdown or, God forbid, tyranny, they would be a very...
TSA is right there.
Right, right. And, of course, other new normals was and includes the income tax of 1913.
Yes.
To tax Americans under our constitutional order for their wages, not just taxing corporate profits or dividends, but... actually taxing the wage of the average worker.
The hard-earned money.
Yes, and we do have a caller, James from Vancouver in Canada. Let's go ahead and take the call right away because time flies in a one-hour show. James, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I've been listening to your show quite intently, and my comment would be that there's a suppression out there for... new discoveries in medical science and also suppression of scientific discoveries with regard to energy. And
yes.
I wondered if you could comment on that.
Oh, absolutely. Certain things are promoted, Johnny. He's absolutely right. And good things are suppressed. James, you've probably heard of cars that could run on hydrogen and the byproduct would be something like water. And then, there's Tesla. Right down the street here, not far in Milford, Texas, there's a new kind of Tesla coil that's been erected, a very strange-looking, dare I say, phallic-looking tower.
Oh, it's just like a Tesla tower. That's what we call it.
Yeah, yeah, and...
it transmits and receives electricity.
Right, wirelessly. Yeah. And yeah, a number of things across the board, and medically, don't even get Johnny started. The way the medical monopoly has squeezed everything out except for hazardous surgeries and chemo and things that are very mixed bag in their results. But go ahead, James, if you have anything to add.
Well, 50 years ago or more when I was in high school, we were promised a cure for cancer. They said, oh, it's coming, it's coming. It'll be here by 1970-something. Well, it never came, you see.
What is it that never came? Oh, a cure for cancer. I'm sorry, go on.
No, go ahead. This is a point I wanted to make. Excuse me. I've listened to Johnny Delirious's program in the morning, and the hair analysis, that's not really standard. You can't get that at your doctor's place. You can't get any DNA analysis. You simply get the same old thing all the time. Well, we'll give you the chemo. Well, we'll try that. We'll try radio. We'll try that. Well, that's not working. And you see, it's the same old thing.
They're
and now they have the virus.
I just want you sick enough to come back for more.
Yeah, the virus is totally fake. There is no virus. I've been studying viruses for years, and I see no evidence of any kind of pandemic at all. This is a total psyop that they're trying to suppress us with. And
it's a strange psyop too, James. There's a guy running for a congressional office in Texas. His name is Chip Roy, and he's running against everybody's favorite go-gal, Wendy Davis, an ultra-liberal feminist who tried to get the Texas governorship, and she failed. But Chip Roy is being called a conspiracy theorist. He traffics in conspiracy theories by Texas Monthly Magazine, their latest edition, simply because he doesn't like the crackdown. He thinks the crackdown is more or less a hoax, the response to the coronavirus. But he's careful to say that he doesn't think the virus itself is a hoax. But
well,
I know that that's a point of contention among some, but has that actual virus been isolated to where they can say, yes, there it is, there is that virus?
They haven't been able to do that.
Yeah, well, and I'm hearing they haven't been able to do that. I won't go so far as to say it's a hoax, but I'm open to all things because this is about free speech on this station. But you believe it's a complete invention?
Sorry?
Do you believe that the virus is itself doesn't exist, or it might exist, but they haven't isolated it?
Yeah, no, it's a fake, because if you want to isolate a virus, you don't use a swab test. You use blood from the arteries. You can take blood right out of the artery in the forearm. And you take that blood and you put it in an analyzer, and you can tell by the weights of what's in the blood, the molecular weights of all those things that are in there. That's how you isolate the thing. And people say, it mutated. Well, that's not quite true, because if it's a virus, if it's an RNA, you can detect that. You can measure that, see?
That's right.
Nobody's come up with any hard evidence for the measurement. See?
That's correct.
Yeah, and the PCR test, among other things, the New York Times, even the New York Times, get that, revealed that due to the cycles and the way the PCR test works, and I don't claim to be an expert, but it can detect viral material you might say debris, of such a small amount. The test is so sensitive that someone can be labeled positive, but their viral load, the count is so low that they could never get sick, much less infect anyone else. So meaning a lot of these cases are people with minuscule amounts of viral material that may not even be clearly identified to be COVID-19.
That's correct. That's correct, and they'll never get anybody sick, and if they're not already, I mean, they're pushing this vaccine for a deadly virus on healthy people. Yeah. That in and of itself is absurd.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's the deal, Mr. Delirious. You're right. That's what they want. They want to kill us with the vaccine. Yes.
You're in Vancouver.
Sorry.
Are these, I'll call them rumors, I don't know which word to use, are these rumors or predictions or allegations of a major crackdown in Canada? Do they appear to have any truth to them?
I don't know. I have heard about these rumors, maybe in Toronto. I know in Montreal, I have friends there. Montreal is a red zone. Now you can't go in it. I have a friend who can't visit her family in Montreal, because Montreal is totally locked down. You can't go in. So
they're isolated. Whoever lives there or works there is isolated within Montreal.
Yeah, it sounds that way to me.
Toronto similar? Is Toronto similar?
I don't know that for sure, but I do know we have a population of 450,000 people from China here, and nobody's falling down. There's no sign of a pandemic at all.
So in Vancouver, you really aren't locked down in Vancouver?
Not yet, no.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I mean, we hope to God that these things are not true. You know, second and third lockdowns, people not allowed to even travel out of their home cities across Canada. These are the things that are floating around. I'm going to call them allegations for now, but I want to talk about it right away in case they are true, and I'm going to do some more research before my shows next week. But we got to get the talk going. We got to get the word out so everybody can investigate. Right. You know, many citizens, journalism has become sort of a citizen thing now, with citizen reporters.
Right.
Absolutely. Right. It's become our duty to protect our freedom.
Right. It's all about that. It's all about the Constitution, the First and Second Amendments. And we don't have a good First Amendment up here. There's things I can say in public I'll go to jail for up here. Down there, you can say a lot, you see? And that's one thing I want to bring home here.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling, James. Any final thoughts?
You're welcome. I'm going to keep following Johnny's program. I'm interested in the diet. I'm interested in the hair analysis. I'm interested in all that. It sounds good to me.
Yeah, we need to be innovative, and we need to chart our own destiny, because our institutions, unfortunately, by and large, are failing us. And that's a big sign of the modern times we live in, institutional failure.
Right. And, you know, my tagline on TheMasterSurvivor.com, that's where you'll find me, TheMasterSurvivor.com. My tagline is, no one has to suffer. That's the way we all should live, and that's the way we should treat each other. Well, no one has to suffer.
That's right.
Thanks a lot, James.
Okay, you're very welcome, sir. Thank you very much.
Very good questions and very good points, very good talking points. What he said appears to be true about blood and finding viruses. I don't know anything about that. Mm-hmm. But logically, common sense, which is what you need a lot of these days, and it's lacking throughout the world, that makes sense. That sounds completely plausible. And we're getting into the last few minutes of the show. But, these are just some of the new normals. The Federal Reserve and the federal income tax, 9/11, the TSA under the DHS, mandatory seatbelts, and the COVID-19 thing, which has come up to be the most unpleasant of the new normals. And yet we hear, again, through this audio-video clip that we played earlier, that this apparently was contemplated as far back as 1956. The details are just a little bit too uncanny. I mean, you've got everything from the viral cloud from people coughing to kids being admonished not to kill their friends because they're not covering their faces. And you've got the prediction that there'd be misfits and naysayers who will take this newfound communications technology that they predicted would come into existence, and they would use that. I mean, and that it would all happen in 2020.
Yeah.
Your final thoughts, Johnny?
Well, I mean, they're predicting we are having this worldwide pandemic from a bug, a flu that comes out of Asia in 2020, and so we got to be prepared. And so already they're just trying to plant fear in us from the cradle to the grave.
Yeah, and it shows that there really are people in this world that think in terms of centuries.
Yes.
Most of us are kind of horsewhipped by the economic system and other factors to think about our next meal. It's hard to think even a week in advance sometimes anymore.
But as far as everybody I know, no one has to suffer, Mark. That's the way I treat everybody. That's the way it's going to be as long as I'm around.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time on Stop the Presses. Stay tuned for the next show here on RBN.
Have a good week, everybody.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.